Go with me because we're going to take, I'm sorry, it's going to take a while to get there. But I say it over and over, I speak this. This church loves the Word of God. Loves the Scripture, amen? It's the Word of God that changes us, right? Renewing our mind, amen? And so as the Lord, one thing I've realized as I've grown up, I'm 55, I'm grown up now, right? There was a lot of things through the years, you know, because different denominations, different churches, different things that I learned that I just assumed were gospel truth. And now God's starting to show me some things and I'm unlearning some things. And coming into what it means, learning, seeing through the prism of God's grace and love, God's goodness. And I always have to, it seems like I always have to qualify that because people ask me, does it mean you live in any lifestyle you want? No, God, only God's grace and love can change you, can bring you out of bondage, bring you into His goodness and love. And so as I started reading about this, what is today is the Jesus to the Church of Ephesus. As I began to read this, the Lord said, I begin to see a whole different prism, a whole different light regarding the church in Ephesus. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for helping me communicate. Lord, thank you that you love your church. How precious is the church of Jesus Christ, Lord. As many, Lord Jesus, try to malign it and slander it, as we talked about last week, we thank you that you love your church. You love your body of believers, Father God. It's still how you work in the world today. So, Lord, thank you for the church of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this body, family church. We thank you for other bodies, Lord, that you've called that are leading others into the walk with you, Father, into this walk of grace and goodness and strength in Jesus' name. So Lord, we thank you for ears to hear and eyes to see what you want to say to each individual today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. So in talking about the church of Ephesus, Revelation was written church history says, by the Apostle John. And so he wrote, this is what we have, the Gospel according to John. By the way, these were written late. These are some of the latest letters that we called them letters then. Letters written to the church that we have. As an example, the Gospel according to John, they say, was written somewhere AD 80 to 98. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, AD 90 to 95. Wow. The book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, AD 94 to 98. So these were written after many of these other letters of Paul and so forth were written. Amen? And so just laying down a little bit of information here. So it's said that John, the Apostle John died somewhere at the age of 100. You know, he like doubled the expected lifespan during that time. Amazing, right? Remember I talked about last week, they tried to boil him in oil. And I got funny and said to him it was like a jacuzzi, right? You remember that? And he continued to preach the gospel, they say. And they couldn't kill him right then because those around him thought he was like a god. So they said, let's stick him on the island of Patmos, where they put other individuals that had broken the law, those that had been in prison, the worst offenders they put on this island. So when John was released from the island of Patmos, church history says John would end up in the church of Ephesus, where he would spend his last years of life in the church of Ephesus. How would you like to have been the church where that last living original apostle lived? Wouldn't that have been awesome? The conversations you could have with him about walking with Jesus. Wouldn't that have been awesome? And so he died. He lived 100 years at church. And Paul, so it says, but this Ephesus church, this letter to the seven churches. Remember last week there were these seven letters to the seven churches. And they were actually modern day Turkey. Then they called it Asia or Asia Minor. But now all seven of those churches were in modern day Turkey. So we know that the church was established by the church in Ephesus by who? By Paul. And that Timothy at some point became the pastor of the church of Ephesus. And so just listening to the theologians and other people that are much smarter than me, Timothy, they were saying that it's quite possible that when this letter was written to the churches, these seven churches, that Timothy, got your name, Timothy, that Timothy from 1st and 2nd Timothy, Paul's protege, was actually the pastor of this church. What a powerful church. And like I said, John lived out the twilight of his life in the church of Ephesus. So let's start out here a few scriptures and let's unpack this. And so Jesus talking to Don, he says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write. And understand, you can read that and say, to the angel. It says, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands saying this. Well, let me stop real quick, because to the angel, I don't talk to an angel. Do you hear? I'm not talking to an angel. This church isn't headed up by an angel. This church is under the direction of Jesus Christ. He's the head, amen? He's the good shepherd, amen? I may be a shepherd, but I'm a hireling under Jesus Christ, amen? He is the good shepherd. He's the shepherd of this church, not I, amen? And so when he says, so they have these seven stars in his right hand and the seven golden lampstands. What's this mean? Well, if you go back to Revelation 1:20, let me spend just a few minutes there, and it says, and as for mystery, the seven stars which you saw. I thought it was okay because my wife says at home you talk loud enough for everybody to hear. Amen. Thank you, honey. Appreciate that. Now, where was I? Amen. Seven. So we know the seven lampstands. How about these seven angels? Let me go to. So John has the angel showing him those seven lampstands, stars. Let me say the stars. Let me go to the stars. We know the lampstands, the seven churches, means, in the Greek, means messenger. It also means pastor and leaders. John the Baptist was called a messenger with the same Greek word for angel, by the way. So John has this angel, and by the way, John has this angel. Let me just go a little bit further with this. John has this angel showing him around in the book of Revelation, showing these things that he's seeing. Amen? And let me read this, Revelation 22:8-9. It says, now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant. And here's listen to this. And of your brethren, the prophets. And of the prophets. And of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. So what many theologians or some theologians think, that this was an Old Testament prophet, was actually showing this vision, walking with John as he's seeing this vision. It was an Old Testament prophet. And so the church is calling him an angel, but it was actually one of his brethren from the Old Testament. So my point is, angel can also mean messenger. It can also mean a pastor. And so when this letter would come to these different churches that was written, the pastor would get up front and read it. And so it's likely that he was saying, to the pastor of the church of Ephesus, I write. Amen. Does that make sense? Are you still with me? And then he starts out with this. Let's go right into it. He says, I know your deeds and your labor and your perseverance. Remember we talked last week about perseverance, amen, the joy of perseverance. See, I know your deeds and your labor and your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil people. You know, we have love and his goodness, but you know it says right here, it's okay not to tolerate evil people. Yeah, because tolerating evil people is what allows evil people, what it's saying is, to have an impact on you. Meaning what that individual believes and thinks is going to have an impact on what you believe and think. So certain things in society today, I don't tolerate anymore. There's certain things I won't allow on my television anymore, because I know that it's like the frog in the water, that it's slowly boiling. Amen. And eventually, myself or my family or my grandchildren are going to believe those things that are being perpetrated by evilness and the spirit behind it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but believe me, there is a spirit behind it. And I believe this church is a church, we love people, want to see people come to the Lord, but we will not tolerate evil people. Is that okay to say? Does that sound too harsh? Sometimes the truth seems harsh, but yet it remains the truth. Amen? Yeah.
Amen. So I know your deeds and your labor and your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil people, and you have put those who call themselves apostles to the test. And they are not, and you found them to be false. And so he says, look, you don't tolerate evil people, and you don't tolerate false doctrine. Those who claim to be apostles, you don't listen to them. Matter of fact, you won't have anything to do with them. And today with YouTube and the different social media platforms, man, you can get all kinds of different voices saying things. And it's a perfect hook and bait for those who have been, in churches and become offended or hurt. And they can hook on to those things because they don't know those people's lives. Those people that they like, they've got gifts, they've got abilities, and they got talents. They don't know their lives, though, so it's easy to hook on to a personality, hook on to a message, and say, I own that. You got to be careful. And a lot of the people, I'm not saying that I glean from a lot of different people, so don't get me wrong, but we're in an epidemic where people can grab a hold of things that are absolutely false. Because of injuries and woundedness in their heart, they don't have to get close to that person. They can put that person, they can put them on some kind of pedestal, make them some type of idol, but not know them at all. That person can be who they want in their minds. But when you're in a church, and I'm going a direction I didn't intend to, but here we go. But in a church with a group of people, we're like sandpaper to one another. And we can't do that. It's like, man, I've got to, and we're going to get there. We got to love these people. We got to forgive these people. We learn to grow and mature and actually step into gifting and calling in your local church around others that are going to challenge you. They're going to challenge you with things they say or they act or whatever. They're going to be a challenge to you. And in today's society, we can pick up our toys and just go to the next sandbox. Really didn't have that option at this time. Amen? You still love me? Yeah. Amen, amen, and amen. Signs of a, let me just read the signs of a deceived person, Colossians 2, 18 and 19. Take care that no one keeps defrauding you of your prize by delighting in humility and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause, by the fleshly mind. So they're having these visions and dreams, and they're trying actually pulling people towards themselves and say, look what the Lord showed me. They don't say, hey, look what it says in the Word of God. Look what God has revealed to me in his goodness and kindness. No, it's saying, look, this dream and vision, look what I have seen. Follow me. Pulling people always towards themselves is what it is. And not holding, verse 19, and not holding firmly to the head. Who's the head, by the way? Jesus Christ, amen? Jesus Christ is the head. And not holding firmly to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. It is hard to grow when you're not with a group of people. I don't have any people in mind. I'm not doing that at all, but I just know it from the scripture and what Paul says. The enemy always tries to get you alone. Yeah, so do, if you're a single gal here, so do wolves in sheep's clothing, otherwise known as men. When they're trying to separate you by yourself, we don't want to hang out with a group. We don't want to hang out with your family, your parents. Let's hang out just together, pulling you away so they can give input. So they can give input. So they can have your affection. So they can be they can become your idol in life. That's good stuff right there. So the enemy always tries, even in the church, people who want to pull people to themselves. Amen? Those are those signs of false prophets, deceived, those who have become have been hurt in church and have bitterness and resentment. It will set in And then without realizing it, they'll all of a sudden have these dreams and visions that are not of the Lord. They're of their own fleshly mind. And they tell people, saying, let me show you what the Lord has shown me. Beware of that, because that is something that we deal with today in mass because of these social media platforms. They're not part of a church. They might be in a church or part of a church, but they will not really be part of that church, because after all, they have knowledge and wisdom and revelation that nobody else has. Be careful. Be careful. That's a day and an age that you and I live in today. As a pastor, I have to be a shepherd that says we can't have that. Amen. If we don't watch and look for that, we cannot tolerate evil people. Amen. They speak to angels, focus on visions that are not of the word. Number three, the point, they have revelation no one else has, separated from the body. In other words, don't work well with others. They want authority, but not willing to be under any authority. They want to be, see, up front, but they don't want to submit to any authority. Hey, man, when I was younger, I knew what that was like. Did you remember when you knew everything? Was there a time? Was I the only one? And as you mature and grow, I think I told the story. I remember where I was at, the driveway I was at, and it dawned on me, man, my parents may know a little bit more than I thought. I remember that epiphany. I thought, wow. But before that, and I was like 27 years old. I was a late bloomer. Amen. And so let's continue. Amen. You still with me? In Revelation 2, verse 3 now, it says, and you have perseverance and have endured on account of my name and have not become weary. Amen. But he says, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you, and I will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But you have this, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate, Jesus says. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who overcomes, I will grant to eat from the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. Let me say, this is where the Lord started showing me some things that I used to think that I no longer think here. It's actually much more at home, what he's saying. See, first he says, against you, you got to understand, he says, when you look into the Greek, he says, we don't think alike here. In this matter, we are going the opposite direction. When he's talking about this love, he says, you've left your first love. We're going in opposite direction. In this matter, in this little thing here he's talking about, not little, we don't think alike. You don't think like I do here. He says, you did it one time, but you don't think like I do here. And so he says, but when I have this against you, that you have left your first love, you could say, I have left your love. You have left your love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. Do the deeds you did at first. I mean, he starts out saying, you do all these deeds and you're not weary. You haven't grown weary. And then it sounds like all of a sudden, you see, from the outside, this church looks great. Everything looks good. And so you read that and you're like, okay, they're doing these deeds. And they're not growing weary. It's like, is it not enough, Lord? So I always read this before, getting a little bit in my head of myself. You've left your first love. Okay, I'm spending 30 minutes in prayer. Let's knock that up to an hour, hour and a half. I'm spending an hour in prayer. Let me knock that up to an hour and a half. Okay, I'm serving this much at the church. Well, let me pick it up. I'll serve more. I'm tithing. Well, now I'm going to tithe and give offering every week. Not only am I going to give 10%, Lord, I'm going to give you 20%. And so I equated this first love with doing more. And I'm telling you, I don't believe it's that at all. So let me say this. It says, do the deeds you did at first. I used to read this and hear others preach this. You've lost your love, your first love. Get back to prayer. Get back to tithing. Nothing wrong with prayer. And let me say, there's nothing wrong with tithing. Thank you, Jesus, for tithers. Nothing wrong with tithing. Yes, Lord, I heard that. I will obey. Get back to volunteering. Get back to works. I don't believe that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, I know your deeds and your labors. He says, I know your doctrine. Matter of fact, from the outside, like I said this, I think this church looked like it had it going on. He says, you've left your love. You've left your love. But what does that mean by love? Let's talk about John 13, 33 to 35. Little children, you're getting there. Little children, this is John the Apostle, right? Little children, I am still with you. He says, I am still with you a little longer. You will look for me. This is Jesus in the book of John. And just as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. I am giving you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, he says, just as I have loved you, amen, just as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So as he started, he said, your first love, I think he's talking about a love towards one another. And I'll prove it from Scripture. He says, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. Even James says the royal law is love. And even in part of the book of James, he was saying, hey, you're setting up these classes of people. You're telling this individual to come sit up front. You're telling this person to sit in the back. You're telling this person, come sit by my feet. And it was based upon all what that individual could do for the church. That's what he's saying. Man, you're not operating in the royal law of love. In the royal law of love. I thank God that one thing I know about this foundation of this church is that it's, I don't believe there's any classes. It's the ground at the foot of the cross is it's level. I don't look at anybody like where they're at economically or where they live or what they look like. God took that out of me a long time ago. And I think he does not want, I don't think, I know that church doesn't look like that. I have to brag on Pastor Lee because this story impacted me so much. Years ago on a Wednesday night, Pastor Lee's preaching and in walks this guy with long stringy blonde hair. He's got a leg missing, no prosthetic. Got a leg missing, he's on these crutches. And somewhere in this hair, he sits over here. I never saw him before then and I never saw him after that. And right after church, Pastor Lee, I mean, he preaches his message, and right after that, Pastor Lee makes a beeline for him. And I'm watching, and Pastor Lee's talking to this guy. He's praying for him. The next thing you know, I just see all these tears just streaming down this. I don't know if you remember him, Pastor Lee. Just streaming down his face. He couldn't do a lick for this church. I mean, there was no benefit, but that is the love of Jesus Christ. Everybody has equal value. All men and women, men and women. In the beginning, he made them man and woman. He's given them all equal value. Amen? And amen. So I say that was the foundation of this church, loving one another. Amen? Regardless of your background, where you're at with your walk of Christ. Let me say this, since I read this. So deeds don't necessarily mean love. Because all of a sudden, I look at that and say, okay, we've got to get return to your first love. You got to get busy. He's already saying they're busy, not growing weary. But he says, got to tack on a little bit more. So it looks like performance. Looks like you've got to do some more and to earn my approval. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Do you know why he wrote the love chapter, Paul wrote that letter to them? Because they had all the giftings, all the abilities, we'll read about it, had all these things going on, but there was division in the church. There was envy, there was jealousy, there was finger pointing, there was backbiting. And so he says, hey, let me show you what love's about. And so let's read this, let's continue on, amen? Deeds don't necessarily mean love. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7, it says, if I speak with the tongue of mankind and of angels, speaking in tongues, amen? I speak in tongues. I love speaking in tongues. Can I say that? I do. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you don't speak in tongues, does not mean that you're not born again at all. But I believe everybody has the ability, if they want, to pursue it, to speak in tongues. But he says here, if I speak with tongues of mankind and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It's just noise. It's just noise. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I think the gift of prophecy is for today. Amen. It says, despise not prophecy. If you've been to this church any amount of time, why does Paul say that? Because there's many reasons we can find to despise prophecy. Amen? It says, despise not prophecy. It says, if I have the gift of prophecy, know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, listen, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Wow. And if I give away all my possessions, man, isn't that good to give to those in need? Of course, to those that are needed, there's no problem. Giving to those in need, that's a good thing, right? Yes, that's a good thing. But he says here, if I give away all my possessions to charity, and if I surrender my body so that I may glory, but do not have love, it does me no good. Wow, no good. So when he says, and repent and do the deeds you did at first, here's the deeds I believe Jesus was saying to the church of Ephesus. Because now he starts giving the definition of love. Verse 4, love is patient. Being patient with one another. If you're married here, this thing in the church, in a marriage, any relationship, this would be the same. This goes the same, right? What did Paul say? Love your wife as Christ loves the church, right? Amen, men, if you're married. So what's our definition? This is what Paul, he's talking to the Corinthian church because of their struggle. He says, love is patient. What is love? He says, love is kind. You want a definition? Love is kind. He says, it is not jealous. Others that are doing well, others that are excelling, we're not jealous. We're actually happy for them, their accomplishments. And what God's doing in their life. Love does not brag about itself, right? It comes, a lot of times bragging will come out of insecurities. People do a lot of bragging about what they've accomplished or whatever. It's just coming, a lot of that's coming out of insecurity. God's love allows you, his Holy Spirit and the love of the Holy Spirit growing inside you in maturity allows you to be at rest there. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I don't have to promote myself, amen? You feel you're comfortable in your own skin in that regard, amen? This is good stuff. Are you still out there? Yes. I'm telling you. It does not brag. It says it is not arrogant. It does not act disgracefully. It does not seek its own benefit. It is not provoked. Here's a good one. Does not keep an account of wrong suffered. The biggest thing about God's love and making a choice is when we've been wronged by somebody, whether it be in family or you're in a marriage or in the church, it says it keeps no record of wrong. Wow. You know, if we had a world that understood this, we wouldn't have anything going on that we have now. But if everybody was a believer in this world, You wouldn't need police officers, really, would you? If everybody operated in the love of God, this world would look different, amen? Love is so powerful. See, we preach about faith, and I love faith. And we preach about hope, and I love hope. But Paul, as you'll see at the end of this chapter, says, now faith, hope, and love, these three remain, but the greatest of these is love. Is love. Amen, is love. Amen. Yes. Does not keep an account of a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Does not rejoice, but rejoices with the truth. Hallelujah. It keeps every confidence. God's still with me. Things coming against me through other people. God's still with me. I'm confident. Amen. And through his love. It says, not through faith, but through his love. It believes all things. Wow, this is love. It keeps every confidence. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is the glue of a healthy church or even a marriage. Love is the glue that keeps it together. When you don't have operating in that love is when it... If you're not operating love in a marriage, forgiving one another, and those things that love operates, what things start to come apart. Amen? So love is the glue of a healthy church. And even in Paul, let me go Galatians 5, 13 and 15. Amen? For you were called to freedom. Amen? We love you. You were called to freedom. Brothers and sisters, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Wow. You know, if God was writing a letter to Family Church, what would that letter say? That's what I'm saying. If God was writing a letter to Family Church, what would that letter say? I believe it would be as similar to the letter as to the church of Ephesus. Repent means to change your mind. We have this thing of repent that it means moving up here, some kind of display. And it can be, but repent means to change your mind. Don't lose me yet, please. Don't turn me to me off because of what I'm saying yet. Repent means to change your mind. See, when the Lord showed me this, can I have a time where I can be open? Repent means to change your mind. See, when the Lord showed me this, he told me through his word, Chad, you need to repent. He was talking to me, not to you. He was talking to me. You see, he said, you've allowed, and I could talk to myself, you've allowed some resentment to come into your heart. You don't have a heart for my church like I do. And I can say that. I don't have to impress anybody, but I can be open to where the Lord led me to give this message today. He says, you don't have my heart for the church like I do. You have allowed situations, conversations, distractions to put a burr under your saddle. Change your mind, Chad. Repent. You know what happens when there's a burr under your saddle. And you start kicking and bucking and swinging. When the Lord spoke that to my heart, man, I'm telling you, I'm so thankful that he loves me. I'm so thankful that he loves this church. You see, it started when I, remember the scripture last week I read? This is Paul. It says, when we are slandered, we reply as friends. Wow. Paul had many times where he could have responded a different way. So see, there's a generation of people out there who were spiritually abused, slandered by church leaders, not restored. In their struggles, they were ostracized, maligned, made to feel less than. In the name of religion, they were told Christ's forgiveness was going to be hard to come by. Saints, that is not love. And so I believe if you're here and experienced that, even in your own doing, that is not God's love. God is always about restoring people. He's not about saying, sorry, you blew it too many times. What did Peter say? Should I forgive my brother seven times? No, 70 times seven. That's just getting started. 70 times seven is 490 times, right? So don't allow the world's narrative of the church to, so that meaning, if you've experienced that, that's not God's love. He's always about restoring people. He's always about bringing you back and say, come back. Allow my blood, allow my love, my goodness to wash you clean. And it's just not the Jesus, it's us as a body, the love. It says speak, what does it speak and talk to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, amen? Making melody into your heart to the Lord. The Lord is always about restoring. So if you've experienced that before, let me tell you, that is not God's plan for you. He loves you. He wants to restore you. He wants to change your mind that said, I never left you. I never forsook you. I never left you. Just change your mind and come back to me. I want to wash every sin away by his blood through faith, experiencing the love of God, not only by his Holy Spirit, but within a body. It's not always about experiencing just this. It is a lot of it's this, loving one another. Amen? That's how people learn to be a good brother or sister. That's how they learn to be, if they don't have parents, to be a good father or mother. It's through the body of Christ. Hallelujah! Don't allow the world's narrative of the church sneak into your heart. The things that you listen to, the slander, don't allow that to sneak into your heart. Because there's such a permeating in the airwaves of that, God will have you think that the church, no big deal. Man, he loves his church. He operates through a group of people that walk in his love. See, church, I don't believe God is bringing this message to us because we are loveless. But on the contrary, he's encouraging us and you, don't leave any door open to allow the enemy a foothold. In this church, in your family, or in your marriage. And if I know that if I was allowing footholds into my life on this, I know I'm not the only one. I know the enemy's doing it amongst you as well, not just me. I'm not a special case here where that was only happening to me, but other ones. So how is it? It's maligning or talking about somebody else. Or being upset and not liking the way they do things. And what it starts this little talking and murmuring. And what that does is starts a crack in the foundation. We may not see it, but a little hairline cracks. And it'll keep and it'll expand if it's not dealt with. And how do we deal with it? Changing our mind. Saying, Lord, I'm not going to be a part of that in the church. I'm not going to be a part of that in my marriage. I'm not going to be, not part of that in my relationships. Those things seem so tiny and so little. But things start as a little crack and they expand. So what it is sowing in love. Here's what I love about Hosea 10:12. How does this look? Sowing kindness and reaping the fruit of unfailing love. See, the things we say produce something. I said the things that we say produce something. We'll eat of the fruit of our lips. What kind of fruit are we sowing towards one another? Hopefully you'll pray for me. I need prayer. You can say, man, give him some help, Lord. Bless him, touch him. He's got so many weaknesses, we can't even count them. That's what I need for you. I pray in knowing many different situations of people. My prayer is, Lord, strengthen them. We all have weaknesses. We all have struggles. Let's not make each other a punching bag. Let's not. And so how did I change my mind? That scripture saying, Lord, I know some things will come against me by people being a pastor, but I'm going to respond in your love. I'm going to sow in kindness and I'm going to reap the fruit of unfailing love. I said, I'm going to sow in kindness and reap the fruit of unfailing love. Amen. That's what this church is about. So I say that if the Lord, let me tell you this, when John was released from the island of Patmos, church history says John would end up at the church in Ephesus and they would help him into the church. He couldn't walk and he would say three words. He would say, I think it's five. Little children, love one another. He didn't say, little children, love God more. He said, little children, love one another. So when I talk, when he was saying, you've lost your first love, he was saying, how are you treating one another? Are you praying for one another? Or are you starting to malign people? Or are you ignoring people that you avoid in the church? Where you can avoid them in the grocery store. If I got a finger here, remember how many is coming here? Lord, I don't want to be a part that. I want to walk in love because what to say about love? Perfect love casteth out fear. Not perfect faith. We love faith. We're a faith church. But perfect love casteth out fear. When he was talking to that church, he says, look, the love that you had for one another, I just read the definitions. It's not there anymore. You guys are busy with works. You guys are busy doing this. And he says, I love what you're doing. But underlying that love for one another isn't there anymore. It's now starting to just crack a little bit. And he says, change your mind. And I thank God that this church is going to be a church that loves one another, lifts one another up, forgives one another. That is the power of a church. He said, look, if I talk with the tongue of men and angels, not have love, it's like clong. You just take a bell. Let's just ring a bell. That's how much power it had. You can give everything you want to the poor. It does not mean anything if you're not operating in his love. Or as John says, a new commandment I give you, love one another. Do you love him this morning? I think the thing is, it's just this saying, Lord, if what I did is say, Lord, when he showed me that, I just said, Lord, forgive me. I'm changing my heart there. I'm not allowing myself to participate in nursing things. I'm forgiving, and not only that, I'm not going to ignore people. I'm not going to avoid people. I'm going to sow in that righteousness and reap the fruit of unfailing love. Sowing is so powerful, not just money, but the things we say to those that we'd like to say, hey, you're punching me. Let me show you what it feels like. Let me show you how I can punch. You ever felt that way? Oh, yeah. Me and Richie were talking about that. And so when we feel like people are little daggers or things in human, we can respond in his love. That is the power. And then the gifts and the callings and the power of God then can be glued together. And then from that, we can move forward in his strength, in his goodness. Did you get anything from that? Are you still there? And like I said, now faith, hope, and love remain these three, but the greatest of these is love. I think this is a perfect time to go into communion. Right when we get done with communion, then we're gonna worship together. You want to do that? You sing afterwards, Hunter? What do you want to do? Oh, do you want to? Did everybody? Is there anybody here that didn't get an element? Raise your hand. Some of you slipped in the back door. Amen. 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 I love with my heart. I have a heart. You know, once I've learned about his love and grace and that I belong to him, I have a heart saying, Lord, anything you want to correct in me, yes, in my growth in you, anything, I'm open to that, Lord. I'm blind to things. I'm blind to things. But you first have to have the confidence in his grace that he loves you where you're at. Even in our struggles, I belong to him. And when you have that confidence, you're not doing those things to earn your salvation. You're saying, Lord, I love you. I belong to you, and I want to grow into everything you have for me. Doesn't that sound good? See, it's a perfect time for communion because in 1 Corinthians 11 that we're going to talk about communion, when before he starts talking about it, he was talking to the Corinthian church, and he says, when you get to, this isn't this church, but I'm going to tell you where they were at. He says, when you get together, is it for the better? He says, no, it's for the worse. It's for the worse. And so he admonishes them. Everybody got one? So he admonishes them. He admonishes him right there. And then when he goes into saying, examine yourself. If you look at that whole thing, he says, examine yourself. He's talking about with the body. Man, he loves his body. He was saying, examine yourself. He says, how have you been? When you guys have been getting together, what in the world are you doing? Read the whole chapter in his context. He said, when you guys get together, it is crazy. There's people getting drunk. There's people that bring food, they're not sharing. There's people going without. You guys are displaying how gifted you are. Man, you can't do that. He says, you might as well not even get together. So that's what he's talking about before he gets into this. Then he talks about that, admonishing them to walk in love. And then a couple chapters later, he says, let me give you the definition of love. Don't you like the definition of love? The definition of love. So 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26. This is Paul, like he says, for I received from the Lord. The Lord spoke to him. He didn't hear it from Paul. He didn't hear it from John. He says, this is what the Lord told me. He says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. Can we take our bread? And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together. Thank you, Lord, that we can take your bread together. Amen. In remembrance of you. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Hallelujah for the new covenant of grace. Amen. I said, hallelujah. Thank you for the new covenant of grace. Amen. He took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's drink this together. As the worship team comes, it says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I think about salvation, what his death, burial, and resurrection provided for me in salvation. It provided healing. Amen. Right, Leonard? It provided healing. Amen. It provided provision. Amen. He became poor that I might become rich. What's that rich mean? A full supply. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this day and age, for a full supply. So as we've taken that cup and ate of that bread and drank of that, if there's anything in your heart unsettled, saying, Lord, thank you for settling that today. Thank you, Lord, that I'm changing my mind. You know, when the Lord shows us those things and we change our mind, it is so liberating. It can come through scripture. It can come when you're worshiping. It can come when you're having a conversation with somebody. It can be when you're just by yourself in your vehicle. All of a sudden, God will show you something and your mind is changed instantly. I'm so glad for repentance. Saints, I'm so glad for godly repentance. I'm so glad that he loves me so much that he says, hey, come on, let's grow you up. Let's keep growing in him. Amen?
Amen.
And we keep growing in him until the day we draw our last breath when you're an old, old man or woman. Amen? So, Lord, we thank you for that today. Lord, how we love you today, how we worship you, Lord. We thank you for love, Lord. We thank you for showing us what love is, Lord. Not this just an emotional feeling, Father God, but we respond by the Spirit of God, by your love within us, saying, Lord, teach me how to respond. Amen? Sowing in peace and reaping the fruit of unfailing love. Father, we thank you for that today. Lord, we thank you for your strength today. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, we'll have some people. I would love to pray with you. We'll have some people up front. Or if you need prayer for anything, for health, finances, amen. If you need someone to just agree with you for anything, we would love to agree with you. But if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, I want to pray with you and introduce you to Jesus. Amen. So, Father, we love you as we sing this song, Lord, as we worship you for a moment. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your love in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's saints said, amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Jesus, Messiah. Name above all names. Oh, yes. Blessed Redeemer. Emmanuel. Rescue for sinners. is Messiah. Oh, you're the Lord of all. His body, the bread. His body, the bread. His blood, the wine. Broken and poured out, all for love. The whole
Jesus. 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 Jes
to hold.